Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You and Your Democracy is a series of short-take civics lessons hosted by Chuck Parkinson. You can find the full series online at sdpb.org/yourdemocracy. In today's episode, Chuck talks with his cousin, Larry Parkinson. He's the director of the Office of Enforcement at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The conversation is about public service, and Chuck begins by asking Larry, when you began your public service, did you ever contemplate making a career out of it?
I wasn't sure whether it'd be a career or not. I guess when I look back, I'm not surprised that it was a career. As you know, we come from a family of public servants, so it's not a surprise that I sort of led in that direction. In terms of the length of it, it's now 39 years. Not sure that I thought ahead that much, but once I got into public service, and particularly given the variety of experiences I've been able to have in all three branches of government, I guess when I look back on it, it's not much of a surprise.
Yeah, I contemplate somewhat that my case when I first joined Jim Abner's staff back in the middle 1970s, I said, I'm staying for 2 years and then I'm going to go back to South Dakota. Well, 32 years later, I did come back to South Dakota, but I never envisioned that at all either. So it's one of those things that it kind of grows on you. And the experience of being a public servant is very, very important.
Indeed.
In your time, give us a couple of things that you think about that are important about public service that people don't really realize. Government's always easy to criticize for things, but the people that work in public service, and there are neighbors, there are friends, they go to church with us. So could you give us a couple of examples of what a public servant would do just from the basic situations based on your experience, maybe at FERC or a small business administration?
Yeah, I think you've touched on something that I really highlight. People think of public service sometimes, or they think of government as Washington. But government is more than just Washington. It's everybody in the country knows public service. And the folks who are working in public service in Washington or any other big city are no different than those that are your neighbors and your churchgoers. I had the opportunity to serve, speaking of Jim Abner, he was became the administrator of the SBA. And he called me, I was prosecuting some cases in DC, and he said, do you want to be my general counsel? And I was 2 or 3 years into my law career, and he had about 200 lawyers, and I said, sure. I think the essence of public service, whether it's at SBA or any other agency, is it's people just trying to do the right thing. We're given a set of laws, we're given a set of regulations that we have to work under. And it's a liberating thing to be able to just come to work every day and say, I've got a job to do that is truly serving the public. That's why we exist. It's not for us, it's for the people. And the ability to come in and just focus on the mission and just do the right thing every day is a wonderful experience.
I think that goes to what Margaret Chase Smith said about that particular work for the people, because it's important. And as you look at that and look at the area, let's talk a little bit about FERC. I would dare say people who are listening or watching this program have no idea what it is and what its role in government is and how it affects them personally.
Yeah, I joined FERC 10 years ago, and I was probably in that same boat, even though I'd been in Washington for a very long time by then. I didn't know what FERC was, really. I had a very close friend who came to work as the head of enforcement in FERC, and he reached out to me and said, I really have to get you over here to help me build an enforcement program. So that's how I got there. FERC regulates the interstate shipment of electricity and natural gas. That's its primary mission. I'd say the most important thing that's relevant to all people in the United States is we're the ones that help keep the lights on. The electric grid, which FERC helps to regulate, has been called the most complicated machine in the world. And it's extraordinary how the electric grid in the United States works. And we help regulate through regional trading and system operation organizations around the country to make sure the lights on stay on. And that requires system operators to be working 24/7 and making split second decisions on how to distribute power in the United States. And we also, most people are somewhat familiar with their state public utility commissions. We're sort of the National Public Utility Commission, if you could put it that way. And by definition, if it's interstate, then it's susceptible to FERC management and regulation.
On that, we've often heard the fact that the grid is could possibly be a target for terrorist activities for disruption and that sort of thing. What kind of steps do you all take to help protect that system?
Yeah, we work with the operators every day. We have two offices, the Office of Electric Reliability, which is designed to make sure that the electric grid is reliable and it's functioning at all times. And then about 8 years ago, we stood up an Office of Energy Information Security, which was focused exactly and precisely on the issue that you raised. And that is to help work with the regulated community and the Homeland Security Department and national security officials to make sure that the any vulnerabilities that are exist in the electric grid are taken care of and managed appropriately.
Could we take a little bit of a moment to talk about people getting involved in public service? How do you go about it? I know people that are often there. It's not always the first thing that's on their list of where might I go to work. But there is wide ranging, as you mentioned, wide ranging jobs that are just, they're all over the country. How would you go about that? If say you were recruiting someone to come to work where any of the agencies that you worked at, how would somebody go about getting into public service?
Well, the mechanical answer is there's one entry point for pretty much anything in the executive branch, at least, and that's USA Jobs. So if you don't know about USA Jobs, you got to figure that out. And it's, they've tried to make it user-friendly over the years, so it's not too bad. Sometimes it can become a little cumbersome. But I would also just, I'd tell a young person, talk to a professor if you're in college who's done some public service and get a sense of what's out there and what the opportunities are. Talk to your neighbors and friends who have relatives who work in public service. The thing that most people don't realize is really the breadth of public service and how extraordinarily diverse the opportunities are, whether you're a scientist or a doctor or you name it, there's an opportunity to do really good work and really fulfilling work in the public sector.
There are. The opportunities are endless, and I know that the federal government, as does the state and local governments, do the same, where they actually are out there actively recruiting people. There's not a field, I don't believe, of interest or study that the levels of government do not have a job for somebody like that. Yeah. And then there are also those unique jobs that exist in the government.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned that, I knew that from the early days, but particularly when I went to the Interior Department, the breadth of what Interior does, it's got 9 bureaus and it's got everything from fish experts to folks who protect Hoover Dam, to the park managers, you name it, folks working in Indian country to protect the Indian communities. The breadth even of a single department is enormous.
You can find the full series online at sdpb.org/yourdemocracy. Well, we asked for your responses to You and Your Democracy with Chuck Parkinson. What was something you learned in government or civics class that's still relevant to you today? You told us things like this from Brookings. Because of our two-party system, both parties are deeply factionalized on multiple dimensions. From Vermilion, a democratic republic has to provide for minority rights. From Sioux Falls, none of my teachers wanted to talk about Vietnam. That silence was a powerful lesson. How about you? What did you learn in civics or government class that still holds meaning for you today? Send us an email in the moment at sdpb.org.